Romans chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. My text verse is verse number 4, because verse number 3 says, "What if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect?" And God answers that question in verse 4. "God forbid, yea, let God be true and every man a liar." Now, in using this, go to 2 Timothy in your Bible. The name of my sermon this morning is "Let God Be True." Let God be true. But as you go to 2 Timothy, God used the Jews to give us the oracles or the Word of God. And so the Old Testament is how God created the world, mankind comes in, where did the earth come from, and then God, through Abraham, chooses the Jews, and the Word of God is given to us through Israel. So if the Jews, you're going to 2 Timothy, if the Jews in the Old Testament did not believe the promises that God made, that would be His Word, then the individuals that made up the nation of Israel, who did not believe God, would suffer the consequences of that unbelief and would not enjoy the blessing that could have been theirs had they believed God's Word. So in other words, just because God used the Jews to give us God's Word doesn't mean that every Jew believed the Bible. You understand? Their unbelief did not cause God to take back any of His promises that He made. You're in 2 Timothy chapter 2. Let's read verse 11. And I hope you do have your Bible, and I do hope you have it open. If somebody doesn't have a Bible, help them out by showing them yours. But 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11. "It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with Him, we shall also live with Him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with Him. If we deny Him, He also will deny us. If we believe not, yet He abideth faithful." He cannot deny Himself. Look at verse 15. "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing." And then God uses this phrase, "the word of truth." The word of truth. Look down at verse 19. "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure." What's the foundation of God? That's the Bible. So one time in Romans 3, we see that God's word is truth. In 2 Timothy, we see two phrases, the word of truth and the foundation of God standeth sure. Two more statements that God gives us that His word is truth. God's word is truth. Romans 3 talked about, now you just got to stay with me now, you got to stay with me. Romans chapter 3 talked about how if the Jews didn't believe God's word, then they struggled, but their unbelief didn't affect God's word. Now we're in 2 Timothy, and in the New Testament, where we're at today, I believe the Bible's for those that are saved. The Bible's never intended for lost people. Okay, so here we are in 2 Timothy, and God is going to address us in the New Testament. And God is going to tell us the Bible, okay, the Bible is not for lost people, it's for saved people. So listen closely. What happens if saved people don't live in faith and obedience to the Word of God? They miss out on the blessings they could have been, that could have been theirs had they lived an obedient life, right? It's just like the Old Testament. If a Jew didn't believe, they miss out on the blessings God wanted to give them, but it doesn't change the Bible. In the New Testament, where we're at, it's the same thing. If a Christian chooses not to obey the Bible, they struggle and miss out on the blessings God wanted to give them, just like a Jew in the Old Testament struggled and missed out on the blessings. But it doesn't change the Bible. It doesn't change the Bible. Nothing that God has promised in His Word will ever fail to come to pass as He promised. If the Jews would have lived in obedience to God, they could have lived in the blessedness that resulted from that obedience. Okay, it would have been wonderful if everyone who got saved for the past 2,000 years since Jesus died on the cross would live in faith and obedience to God's Word after they got saved. That would be nice. 2 Timothy 2:19 says that, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, But man's belief does not, unbelief does not cause God to scratch out any of his promises, and I'm so thankful. God will do everything he said he would do for everyone that he could possibly do it. And if some folks don't want to be saved, that doesn't stop God from saving those that will put their faith in Christ and what he did for them on the cross. And if saved sinners don't want to live in obedience to the Word of God, that doesn't stop God from blessing those who do want to live in obedience. Let God be true and every man a liar. We see the Bible's true. Jesus told us in John 17:17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Pilate asked the question to Jesus, what is truth? That's the whole world's question. Well, you know, what's truth to you isn't truth to me, and, you know, I have a different version of truth. No. The whole world asks the question, well, what is truth? Jesus told us what truth is. The Bible is truth. God's Word is the measurement for what's right. God's Word is. 2 Timothy chapter 2, look at verse number 11. Ready? Now keep your Bible open there at 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. I love that statement right there. It is a faithful saying. It is a faithful saying. The only thing that is faithful is the Bible. The only thing that you could say is a faithful saying is God's Word. Confucius sayings in that religion, those are words of men. If you were to see what a Buddhist uses, they use the Tripitaka in Pali, but it's broken up sayings, and none of it claims to be the Word of God. It's just words of men. If you saw what the New Agers use, they use emotions and feelings and demonic voices. If you saw what Catholicism uses, they use the sayings of the Pope to override the Bible. They don't use the Bible. If you saw what Muslims use, the Quran and the Hadith, or the sayings of Allah and the sayings of Muhammad, there are such gross errors in the Quran. For instance, the Quran says that the sun sets in a spring of water. The sun sets in a spring of water. The sun doesn't set in a spring of water. That's garbage. The Quran also says that babies form from coagulated blood. That's an untruth. That's an error in the Quran. The Quran also says that the stars are in the lowest sky, in between the earth and the atmosphere. There's so many errors that are gross in the Quran that are untrue everywhere you look. That's just three of them. I just gave you three. All I'm trying to tell you this morning is when God says it is a faithful saying, the Bible is the only book that we can say is faithful. God's Word is true. That's why let God be true and every man a liar. Every man or religion that man comes up with is a lie, and we should let God be true. Every word that other men speak is not a lie. But the only book that tells us what happens after we die is the Bible. Amen? Okay. Look at verse 11. It is a faithful saying. Then watch this. For if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. What's that mean? That means if you've trusted Jesus Christ, God says you're going to live forever in heaven. He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. So God says, if you have the Son, you have life. In the power of the Holy Spirit and the reckoning of God Himself, you were buried with Christ and have been made alive or quickened to forever live with the Lord. That's what it says. It says, if we be dead with Him. It's talking about being dead with Jesus as Christians. You may not this morning participate in the life that God gave you, and you may not this morning enjoy the life that God gave you. But if you've placed your faith in Christ, you have that life. You have that life. Jesus said, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. More abundantly. Jesus came to give us a more abundant life. Does everybody enjoy that more abundant life? No. All Christians don't enjoy being saved. I wish they did. I wish they did. This statement, If we be dead with him, we shall also live with him in heaven. This was true before you knew it was true. This was true on days when you don't think about it being true. This is true when you live contrary to the Bible. The Bible's still true. Aren't you glad? It's true because of what God has said and God has done. Look at verse number 12. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. I'm going to take this first phrase here. If we suffer, we'll also reign with Jesus. Romans 8:17 says this. Just let me read it to you. If we're children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. God says we're going to suffer. We're going to suffer with him. Verse number 18 says, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. So in 2 Timothy and Romans, if we suffer with Jesus, we will reign with him and be glorified together. Here's what verse 18 in Romans 8 said. It says all of us are going to suffer. So listen, when you look at verse 12, if we suffer, we shall also reign with him. Then this morning, Christian, when you read that, don't allow the suffering you're going through now to cause you to doubt the fullness of the reward that God's promised to believers. You see, when things are going well, it's easy to know that you're an heir of God and a joint heir of Jesus Christ. It's easier to know this when your job is stable and it's peaceful at your home, when you're healthy. When you're healthy, it feels like God's given you everything. But when your health fails and you lose your job and your home is chaotic, it's hard to say, I'm a joint heir of God. And I'm an heir of God and a joint heir of Jesus, and I'm going to heaven. You know, when life is chaotic, we don't normally think about heaven. We think about our suffering and what we're going through now. God says, if we suffer, we shall also reign with him. God says, when things are going well for you, and when things are going not so well for you, I am not going to ever be made a liar. Aren't you glad? If things are going well or if you're suffering, you still, if you're a child of God, you're going to reign with, you're going to live with Christ. That's supposed to encourage you. That's why let God be true and every man a liar. Look at the last part of verse 12. If we deny him, he also will deny us. Just like we used Romans chapter 3. God can drive the disobedient Jews into captivity to the Philistines, place them in bondage to the Midianites, and then send them for 70 years into Babylon, and then scatter them to the ends of the earth for crucifying the Messiah. But when the dust settles, after the tribulation period, the children of Abraham are going to enjoy that land. Do you know why? Because God promised. When the Jews denied God, Romans chapter 3, shall their unbelief make the word of God of none effect? God says, God forbid. The Jews didn't act right towards God, and God judged them, but God promised them the land. So you know what's going to happen? They're going to get the land. Not because of their actions, but because God promised it. Now let's go to us. If you're saved, you're an heir of God and a joint heir of Jesus Christ, and you will receive your inheritance on the other side of the judgment seat of Christ when we get to heaven. But in the meantime, listen, Christian, if you deny God's reign over your thoughts now, you'll rot your mind. Your mind will rot. If you deny now God's reign over your marriage, you'll have a miserable one. If you deny God's reign now over the boundaries he has set with those you spend time with, you will be destroyed. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. You can obey it and be blessed now, or you can disobey it and be destroyed. It's up to you. It has nothing to do with the eternal life God has promised you. If we deny him, like the Jews denied God, he also will deny us. If you deny God's reign over your music, you will self-destruct. You will self-destruct. If you deny God's reign over your life, then you'll be in bondage to the world's rat race for fame, fortune, and all the world says that you have to be a success. If you deny Jesus to be your Lord and Master, you can muddle along in this life just like people who don't know Christ. If we deny Him, He also will deny us. It's not talking about losing your salvation. Aren't you glad you can't lose your salvation? It's talking about just like the Jews were judged of God when they disobeyed, but they're going to one day get the land because God promised it. You're going to get heaven one day because God told you so. But until we get there, what you get in between, that's up to you. That's up to your obedience. If we deny Him, He also will deny us. If you've trusted Jesus as your Savior, you'll live with Him forever in heaven. But it doesn't guarantee that tomorrow will be a victory. Do you know what determines how good tomorrow is? How much you want to obey Him tomorrow. How much you want to obey Him tomorrow. This is why you need to this morning. The name of the sermon is, Let God Be True and Every Man a Liar. That also includes myself when I'm talking to myself. Look at verse 13. Ready? Look at verse 13. If we believe not, yet He abideth faithful, He, God, cannot deny Himself. What a verse. If you take just something as simple as this, well, what happens if I choose not to believe anymore? What happens if I trust Jesus as my Savior, and then I decide I don't want to believe anymore? God says He'll still be faithful. Your unbelief doesn't change God's promises. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? If we believe not, yet He abideth faithful. What a verse. What a verse. Now, if I took that and just think with you just for a second, He cannot deny Himself. What's that mean? When you got saved and Jesus Christ became your Savior, you took God's nature in you. It says that in 2 Peter 1:4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature. I love that verse. I've loved that verse since I've been saved. But God says His divine nature, who God is, I partook of when I trusted Jesus. I have Him inside of me. I am not God, but I have God inside of me. And if I believe not, He still is faithful because He can't deny who is in me. Do you understand? Even though I might deny it in my lifestyle. I might deny it in my words. But when I got saved, the divine nature came inside of me. That's why once saved, always saved, if saved, amen. Okay? That's why. Because you became a partaker of the divine nature. Jesus told us about the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth in John 14:17. He said, But ye know Him, for He dwelleth with you and shall be in you. You're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, Ephesians 1:13. He cannot deny Himself. What's that talking about? He cannot deny the one that lives in you. If God wanted to deny us forgiveness of sins and everlasting life, God couldn't do that without denying Himself. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? In other words, God can't lie. We know that. God does not go back on His word. If we believe not, yet He abideth faithful. That verse means a lot to me. That means if God ever asks Jesus, Son, did you save him? I don't know. Jesus won't say that. Son, did you forgive him of his sins? I did, but I don't like him anymore. Aren't you glad Jesus doesn't talk that way? If we believe not, yet He abideth faithful. He abideth faithful. Here we go. If you're lost and you don't believe in hell, and God said He would put lost people in hell, then that's where you're going. If you believe there are many ways and religions to heaven, Jesus Christ is still the only way to heaven. Let God be true and every man a liar. As we witness and knock on doors, we'll hear people say, Well, I just don't believe that. Well, what difference does that make to anybody but you? Nothing. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? The fact that someone doesn't believe the Bible doesn't make it a lie.
And the fact that someone doesn't believe that Jesus Christ came to save sinners, their unbelief doesn't make Jesus anything less than the Savior. Why? Because if we believe not, yet He abideth faithful. If you're saved and you attend a Bible study or watch a stupid video on the internet that might make you think when you trusted Jesus and He gave you eternal life that it slipped through your fingers and you can't get it back, you can believe that if you want to, but it doesn't change what God has said. John 14, 17, as far as Jesus said, He dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Well, I just believe you can lose your salvation. It doesn't matter what you believe. Aren't you glad? What I believe does not matter. What the Bible says matter. That's why let God be true and every man a liar. Every man a liar. Your belief will affect you. It will cut you out from God's peace and God's joy and God's assurance and God's victory, but it doesn't affect God. Praise the Lord. When you place your faith in Christ and Him alone to save you, your salvation is forever, everlasting life. If later on, in suffering and tragedy, you change your belief. You say, people don't do that. I've met people out door knocking. Oh, I used to go to church. Well, has anybody ever taken the Bible and shown you how to go to heaven? Oh, yeah, somebody did that when I was young. But my dad died, and I haven't been to church since, and I don't believe in God anymore. So the hardship or the suffering that you quit believing with, aren't you glad it doesn't change the Bible? People don't do that. Oh, you'd be shocked. People come into hardship. I talked with one family. Oh, we used to go to church until our son was killed. We haven't been to church since. Well, sure, we'd love to have you. We'd love to sing the old songs of Zion with you. We don't believe anymore. So the pain, I didn't say it was easy. It was hard. But if you come into hardship or suffering or you lose a job or you whatever you decide to make you bitter against God, aren't you glad that that doesn't change His word? The girl that got saved at age 12, then she goes off to a state university where they make fun of the Bible and where they mock at you for believing the Bible and they play with your mind and then you leave that university an atheist. Don't you think she's going to be glad when she gets to heaven? Her unbelief didn't affect her salvation, even though she allowed people to play with her brain and put bad thoughts in it. I didn't say every state university does that, but most of them do. You understand? Most of them do, and they've been doing it a long time. If you want, I just love verse 13. If we believe not, yet He abideth faithful. You can rip up your name tag. Throw away your membership if you want to, but praise God, He still keeps His word. He still keeps His word. Okay, I've taken you places now that I hope encourages you, but it is dark. Let me take you to something that I deal with more when someone gets old. And they talk about being saved as a young person. And then the Alzheimer's starts to hit. And then they don't remember their spouse. Then they don't remember church. They go back to their childhood, like sometimes 2 and 3 and 4 years old. And that's what they remember. And you ask them about being saved and they don't remember. Aren't you glad? If we believe not, yet He abideth faithful. I've been asked that question as a pastor. They don't remember anymore. And I go right to 2 Timothy chapter 2. If we believe not, He abideth faithful because He cannot deny Himself. He cannot deny who is in us when we trust Him as our Savior. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? Let God be true and every man a liar. Look at verse number 14. Look at verse number 14. Of these things, the things that we just mentioned, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord. God uses the word charge 6 times in 1 Timothy alone. Okay? Listen now. God says, for instance, you're in 2 Timothy chapter 2. Look over at chapter 4. Look at chapter 4, verse 1. Ready? I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing in His kingdom. Verse 2, preach the word. I charge thee,
preach the word. Now, we'll say the word charge means as far as charge, you know, hit the attack. But I like using the word charge. Listen, some people come to an independent Baptist church and they think because of how I preach that I'm mad all the time or I'm too intense. And that's not what I'm doing. I'm trying to charge this morning. You say, what are you talking about? The preacher is supposed to put you in remembrance by charging you. Christians are like batteries, and they wear down and they lose their charge. My job as a pastor is to put you in the charger and get the current flowing through you again so you can get back to doing what you're supposed to do. The battery lasts a lifetime, but the charge goes down. So you come to church again, amen, and you get charged. Put them in remembrance. Put them in remembrance of the Bible and charge them, charging them before the Lord. When someone says this, the first part of verse number 14, of these things, put them in remembrance. When somebody says this, oh, I've heard all that before. God didn't tell me as a pastor to tell you what you haven't already heard. Do you know how many times it says in the Bible, put them in remembrance? Do you know why? Because we forget so easy. Oh, I've heard about missions. Oh, I've heard about hell. Oh, I've heard about... Put them in remembrance. Give it again. I try not to be mundane and redundant and just, you know, I don't preach the same sermon over and over again. Amen. Although I did hear of one pastor, Sunday morning, preached one message. People came back next week, preached the exact same message, word for word. Third Sunday, he preached the same message, third week in a row, word for word. Two of the men met him after church, said, Pastor, you've preached that message three times in a row. We pay you to study and feed us the Bible. How come you preached one, two, three times? He said, well, he said, you haven't lived it yet, so until you start living it, I'm going to preach it. Now, I don't do that, but it was an interesting thought. It was an interesting thought. Put them in remembrance. Put them in remembrance. God said, make sure they remember what they're supposed to believe and what they're supposed to do and how they're supposed to live because we all need charging. Look at the next part of verse number 14. Ready? That they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. That little phrase right there, let me break it down for you. That they strive not, that means don't argue, about words to no profit. What are words to no profit? Now, I need you to listen to me. If someone believes in Calvinistic election and predestination, like the Presbyterian Church or the primitive Baptist churches, what's Calvinism? That's where God makes some people to go to heaven. That's what they believe. And God makes some people to go to hell. And if you want to be saved, you can't. If God doesn't want you saved, and if you're supposed to go to heaven, then if you wanted to not be saved, it wouldn't matter because God would force you to be saved. We don't believe that here. The Bible doesn't teach that. It's a stupid, stupid teaching. But there's people that believe that, that'll use parts of Bible verses to believe. We don't believe that here. Okay, why would someone who believes that come to a church like ours that doesn't believe that? They would do it to get under the doctrinal teaching and the leadership of the church to subvert it or overthrow it, and they would erode the foundation so they could pull people out through the basement. That's why. Tongues, charismatic sign gifts, the teaching infiltrate instead of separate, Calvinism, ecumenicism, all of that false teaching. If someone wants help understanding that, that's one thing. And I've met, every once in a while, I'll meet a pastor that's wrapped up in this that is saying, I want Bible answers. And they want out of where they're at. I like that. And I enjoy helping people like that. But when somebody is set in what they believe, and they say, I believe this, and I ain't changing, talk to one person 5 months ago and tried to be a help to him, and he was going to tell me about tongues. I said, tongues aren't for today. Missionaries go to language school. If I would say probably some surrendered Christians that want to go overseas and give all they have to the Lord, no, God doesn't give the gift of tongues anymore. Missionaries go to language school. It takes a missionary to go to China, takes them 3 years to learn the language. Do you know how many people die and go to hell while that missionary is learning the language?
It's not because they're not surrendered or God doesn't want to save people. We don't believe in tongues. In other words, tongues is something God used to do. God doesn't do that anymore. I can take a whole bunch of those teachings. If someone's dogmatic about it and they believe they're right, they need to go rent a building and start their own church but not come here because they're subversive operatives. Do you understand? God doesn't tell you. God says here in the last part, strive not about words to no profit. God doesn't tell you to engage them in debate or Bible study. Well, preacher, I'm going to go over to their house and eat dinner with them and straighten them out. No, you're not. You read your Bible, I hope, from Genesis to Revelation, and you work at doing what you're supposed to do, and you come to church, and we learn the Bible, and we hear a little bit about marriage, and a little bit about child rearing, a little bit about entertainment, and we try to take the whole counsel of the Word of God. Do you realize those ding-dongs? Everything they read is about what they, their one hobby horse, their one issue, British Israelitism, and the charismatic. Everything they read is about their one issue. Everything they hear is about their one issue. You're not going to change them. That's all they do, and you can't answer them either. They know more about the subject than you do. Well, I'm going to straighten them out. They're going to chip away at what you believe, and it's called subverting the hearers or overthrowing. They know more about the subject than you. God says, leave them alone. Leave them alone. Don't strive about that. Okay? There is a simplicity that is in Christ. Don't ever study your Bible to win an argument with someone who is subversive. You know why? Because it builds pride. It builds pride. Ha, I know more than they do. That's not what Christianity is. That's not what Christianity... Look at the next verse. Verse 15. Ready? Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. This morning, I'd like you to know as your pastor, there's a simplicity that is in Christ that you can be corrupted from. And that's in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 2. He said, I don't want your mind corrupted from the simplicity that in Christ. What's he talking about? It's good to read your Bible to learn to win the lost. But please don't study your Bible to win an argument. A person who majors on anything other than Jesus Christ is off center and out of balance. I can show you God's purpose for you as a Christian is one thing, to be like Jesus. Romans 8, verse 29, you can read it later, to be conformed to the image of His Son. There's one measure for right, that's the Lord Jesus. We're supposed to be trying to be like the one who saved us, right? We're supposed to want to act like Him. We're supposed to want to talk like Him. We're supposed to want to respond like He would respond. We're supposed to be conformed to the image of His Son. God's focal point in heaven is the Lord Jesus Christ. God's focal point here on earth is the Lord Jesus Christ. God says, study the Bible so you can bring glory to God. Study the Bible so you can honor, live for, serve, and love and please God. If you seek to love the Lord and you aren't involved in mind worship because of how it feels, feed your pride and how you know, and you get to know things other people don't know. I listen to people talk about prophecy. I like prophecy. I think it's a wonderful subject in the Bible. Gives great peace of mind as a Christian, but I've watched Christians talk about it. Oh, I know more about prophecy than you do. It's not supposed to be a contest. Oh, I know prophecy. Really? You know what the Bible says about paying your bills on time? You know what your Bible says about how to have a good marriage? You know what your Bible says about staying away from the wrong crowd? Do you also know what your Bible says about music? No, but I know prophecy. I know prophecy. Well, there's more in the Bible than prophecy, amen? More in the Bible than prophecy. Hobby horse Christians, people that are out of balance. Learn the divisions of the Word of God. Tried to give them to you in the bulletin a little bit. Learn the covenants and the dispensations in the Bible. A rightly divided Bible never divides a Bible-believing church. Look at verse number 16. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. There are Christians who've been raised in church. Listen closely. But when they get on Facebook or social media, they can talk for hours about useless information and never talk, can't talk 10 minutes about the Lord. They can type away and in hours on the computer never give anybody one Bible verse. That's amazing to me. Vain babblings. I've never seen such useless information on my computer when I open up the internet page. Celebrities we have lost in 2017. Most of them are in hell. I wish they would have gotten saved, but they didn't. What a bunch of worthless garbage. Top games that you need to be interested in. Vain babble. I mean, it's just, the senselessness goes on and on and on. But profane and vain babblings, shun them. Those Christians that get involved in that stuff are profane. They don't help anybody get saved or love Jesus. They just increase ungodliness. It doesn't say wickedness, it says ungodliness. Ungodliness is things that are without God. It doesn't say they're promoting drugs or immorality. It's just ungodly. Well, have you heard about this? Well, that's what I'm involved in. Well, is God involved in it? Oh, no, but I'm involved in this, and it's ungodly. God isn't there. God has nothing to do with it. And it increases ungodliness. You aren't supposed to be mean or rude to anybody, but you are supposed to shun profane and vain babblings. The reason they listen to the country music and the rock and the rap music and the pop is because they're ungodly. Listening to that type of music increases ungodliness. The more ungodly movies you watch, the more ungodly you become. Ungodly music and entertainment and friends and conversation are not going to produce a stronger godly Christian. That's why God says, shun, verse 16, shun profane and vain babblings. Look at verse 17. And their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus. If I took that one verse right there, in the Bible, God calls names. Hymenaeus and Philetus were false teachers. They taught that the resurrection is past, and they overthrew the faith of some. This tells me here as a pastor, if I tell you Billy Graham is an apostate, he sold out, if I name false teachers to you like Oprah Winfrey and Joel Osteen and Joyce Myers, and we can go right down a whole list of false apostates. Well, you shouldn't be naming names in the pulpit. Stop. The Bible does. The Bible calls names. And I don't do that every sermon. But I also don't back away from pointing out to you who you need to know who wolves are out there. Everybody that calls themselves a Christian isn't a Christian. Amen? So quit, oh, it's Christian though. They said it was, woo! You're messed up. You're messed up. Look at verse number 18. Ready? Let God be true and every man a liar. Verse 18. Who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already and overthrow the faith of some. Now, if you think about this just for a second, it's encouraging for me to know, listen, that in a church that Paul started, people got messed up in what they believe. This is a church Paul started. Yet these people are having to be reminded, you got some people in the church that got messed up from false teachers. Man, you know whose preaching they heard? The Apostle Paul. I mean, I'm not sure it got any better than that. And yet they still got involved in false doctrine. So a Bible study is held at someone's house, and they're studying something stupid like we already missed the resurrection. This tells me in the best Bible preaching church in America, there's going to be people that leave church because they decided to believe something stupid. Well, not in our church. It happened in churches that Paul started. Believed cuckoo doctrine, some of them, and they left. And they left. That means everybody that leaves doesn't leave over a good reason, right? It's been happening for 2,000 years. Watch this. Look at verse 19. Verse 19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. His word stands true. Having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. God knows those that are saved and those that aren't. I don't like hearing Christians say, well, that person, they're not saved. How do you know? Well, if they were saved, they wouldn't do that. So you've done everything you're supposed to do since you've been saved? The Bible says the Lord knows who's saved and who's not. And nowhere in the Bible am I supposed to be concerned about who's saved and who's not. If somebody says, I've trusted Jesus as my Savior, and I'm His shed blood, then that's all I do. As a pastor, have I met people that I wondered if they were saved or not? I'm not going to tell you I haven't. Do I have church members that I fear for? Yes, I do. Look, if Jesus had 12 and one of them was lost, Judas, he's in hell right now, then I'm sure you could go in the average church that preaches the Bible and you can go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 lost. 1, 2, I'm sure one, I don't think my average would be better than Jesus's. If Jesus had one lost person out of every 12, then I'm sure my average is probably worse. So I'm not crazy enough to think that everybody that comes to church is saved. And there are some people, to just get me off their back, they'll say, oh yes, I'm saved. I don't know why that would have any worth to get me off their back and yet one day wake up in hell. I don't, it's foolish. But are there people like that? Yes. And all I can do is ask. But I'm not supposed to go around, well, I think they're saved. But now them, I don't think. The Lord, the foundation of the Lord standeth sure. The Lord knows those that are His. Amen. God knows who's saved and who's not. I'm so glad. That means people get messed up because of their ignorance, or they listened to someone else's ignorance. Christian, what are you supposed to do? Study the Word of God to show yourself approved and stay away from profane and vain babblings. This morning's sermon is, let God be true and every man a liar. Aren't you glad? What anybody believes or doesn't believe about the Bible doesn't change the fact that it's true. You hold in your hands, if you have a King James Bible, you hold the truth of the Word of God. Let God be true and every man a liar. Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your Word. Thank You.